Refugees in Dadaab had been given until the end of May 2017 to leave Kenya, but a last-minute ruling by the Kenyan High Court back in February blocked that order, calling it unconstitutional and a blatant act of discrimination against Somalis. The sprawling camp near the Somali border is home to more than 250,000 refugees, most of whom are Somalis. The closure of Dadaab and Kakuma, Kenya's second biggest refugee camp, has been a hot-button issue for a while, with the government insisting Dadaab has become a haven for terrorism after a string of al-Shabaab attacks. Mutoni Wanyeki, Amnesty International's Regional Director for East Africa, says targeting refugees won't solve Kenya's security problems.
There's been so much official propaganda around the issue. And of course, Kenyans are legitimately afraid as well, given that we have gone through attacks. They are looking for answers.
When you say that Kenya has been through attacks beforehand, you know, which one are you referring to in particular in that context?
Well, most recently with the one in Garissa, but you know, there was one last week, a cross-border attack on a chief and a local administrator in the area.
In the attack on Garissa University back in April 2015, gunmen killed 148 people. The attack prompted a firm government response, with authorities claiming it had been planned from within the Dadaab refugee camp by the Somali al-Shabaab group.
That may or may not be true, but even if it were true, the issue is that, you know, the organization of attacks is an individual criminal act or an organized criminal act, and you deal with that by how you deal with normal criminal justice. You can't use that to stereotype an entire population, most of whom have fled conflict, war, and are legitimate refugees or asylum seekers. Again, if you look at who was found to have been responsible for the Garissa attacks, it was a Kenyan. In fact, the son of a local administrator. So, again, this idea that you can willy-nilly sort of put blame on every single Somali refugee is not only stereotypical, it's dangerous for Somali refugees as well as for Kenyans who happen to be Somali. You just can't profile people in that kind of way.
One of these Somali refugees is Mohammed, who spoke to me from Kakuma camp. The planned closure has encouraged thousands of refugees to leave already, but Mohammed, in his early 20s, says he has no intention of going back home.
I've seen many people just write their names, have already registered to UNHCR to go back to Somalia, but mine not yet. For me, I have no confidence to go back there because, you know, that place I left since 1992 up to now, I've been in the Dadaab camps under Kakuma, and I left my parents almost, you know, my father was killed in Somalia, but my mom is still there in Somalia. But I have no confidence to go back.
In 2014, the UNHCR launched a voluntary repatriation program to help Somalis go back home. Nearly 50,000 of them have done so already. Other groups, meanwhile, are being transferred to Kakuma camp, like Mohammed, who has been here for 3 years.
Now here there is a repatriation going on for the Somalis, but the main problem is, you know, when you go back to Somalia, it is another problem because, you know, the government, they can't handle the country now, and the Somali, you know, there is a lot of famine. Again, it is a lot of problem for the militia groups and under the government, because the country is not settled. People, when they go back to the country, they can't stay the way. Most of the people, they come back to the camps. They are in the Dadaab camps, some of them.
Despite the new government, in February, Somalia elected a new government. Do you not have confidence in the new Somali government?
No, actually, no. You know, the new Somali government, they can't handle the country because, you know, that country has already corrupted. But if it is, even if it comes the worst, to tell the old Somalis to go back to their countries, maybe for me, I'll just look another country to go.
Because for you, there's no future in Somalia.
Yeah, I have no future, actually.
Kenyan officials were unavailable for comment before our broadcast on the status of Dadaab. But for Apollo Mboya, a legal practitioner with the Kenya Law Reform Commission, closing the camp will be virtually impossible.
Closing the Dadaab camp is going to be very difficult. If you read the judgment that was given by Justice Mativo, it had declared that the directive that was issued for forceful repatriation was illegal, and Kenya had violated its international obligation. The second part of that judgment talked about the decision to close the camp without giving the stakeholders and the affected parties an opportunity to make representation. And to that extent, the court declared that that decision by the government was unconstitutional.
Under international law, states are prohibited from forcibly returning people to a place where they would be at risk of human rights violations. Critics thus have accused the government of using the refugee issue to score electoral points over its opponents.
Of course, then we are in the election period now. The season has started. And of course, there have been counter-accusations that some of even the refugees there are being given voting cards to vote for the Jubilee government. And the timing of the closure could be rhetoric. And of course, they knew that the steps that they were taking to close the camp was irregular, looking at the constitution and our international obligations. So it may very well be that it's being done for political purposes.
Political analyst Tom Mboya, though, disagrees. He says the future of Dawdab is not an issue in the upcoming August elections.
To be honest, I haven't heard much discussion around the closure of Dawdab or Kakuma Camp, really, as an electoral issue. Certainly, there have been references ongoing about the closures, and these have periodically been in the media over the last year or so. I would hesitate to say that it's become a political issue, an election issue. Certainly, it is an emotive one, and one which the court deemed fit to halt the closure of Dadaab. But suffice it to say that there are a number of other issues that are shaping up as campaign issues here at the moment. I don't think I would say that the closure of Dadaab has been one of them so far.
What are the other campaign issues that are dominating?
Well, some of the major campaign issues that are dominating at the moment is the cost of living. Kenyans are suffering quite greatly from an increased cost of living. The government recently had to intervene in rather strange circumstances to bring down the cost of maize, which is, of course, our staple food here in Kenya. A significant rise in the cost of maize is a major issue for most households.
The rising cost of food prompted the government to subsidize the price of maize flour amid fears that inflation could jeopardize the August election. But the government response has raised more questions than answers.
Even the intervention around the maize scandal has sort of brought up a scandal of its own, with the questions about where exactly certain shipments of maize have come from, and whether in fact there was some kind of insider dealing with regard to the price of maize.
Anger has erupted over the government's decision to import maize from countries like Mexico and Brazil at apparently exorbitant prices.
Parliament, about a month back, slightly over a month back, removed the duty on maize in an effort to get millers to be able to import maize quickly and inexpensively. But still, the issue around the high price of maize was prevalent all over the country. So the manner in which this issue has been dealt with has raised more questions than answers. And this is only further fueling the anger that Kenyans are feeling around the increased cost of living.
President Kenyatta has blamed his long-term rival, Raila Odinga, for the higher prices. He said in a recent interview with the Financial Times that those who have been in government, which is Odinga's case, should have dealt with the problem years ago instead of napping. On the issue of refugees, Kenyatta is the one staying silent, as the closure of Dawdab, long championed, now remains unclear.